Okay, Gvaldik, let's get started. Paragvav. Okay, so until now we're talking about the Nefesh Elokis, the godly soul, and all of its interactions with godliness, the fact that we, at our core, who we really are, is a neshama, what we call, in common language, we call it a neshama. That's who we really are. And that's what we've been talking about. We talked about the connection that our neshama is able to make, a direct connection to Hashem when we're learning. And it's able to be completely enveloped in Hashem when it's doing a mitzvah or it's talking about Torah, right? But when your mind is connected to Torah, when you're thinking about Torah, you're completely connected. That's what we talked about in the last parak. Okay, in this parak, the Alter Rebbe tells us that there's a whole nother part. There's a whole nother part. Nefesh HaBahamis. Zakta Alter Rebbe. Vihine. Parakva. Vihine zelu umaze as Elokim. There is a rule that we have to know that there is always a balance of good stuff and bad stuff in the world. There's always a balance of Kedusha, holiness, and stuff that's unholy. There's always a balance. And why do you think Hashem would create this balance? Why not just create the world with just Kedusha? Be an amazing place to live. Why not just have a world of just Kedusha? What do you think? It'd be amazing.
Because if it was only Kedusha, then the low part is to bring up the higher part.
Okay. Why do we even need a low part of the day? Why do we need it? Just have high. Just be high all the time. Be high on God.
High is not real, because when you have a low of the Nefesh HaBahamis, then the Kedusha is so real, so fire. It's hard for Louis to happen to Donovan. So when Louis happens to Donovan, people are scared by Donovan.
Oh.
Versus somebody else. Maybe Donovan's the whole age. So his Donovaning, I don't know, is not starting.
Okay. I hear. Maybe we could say that in order to be able to, I think you're onto something, but in order to be able to keep the ability for us to make the right choices, there has to be the ability to make the wrong choices, right? Hashem wants us to connect to Kedusha, but if you're always connected to Kedusha, that's not something that there's any challenge against it. So he always creates this equilibrium where there's a challenge against, and there's also the ability to connect. Zakta Ba'atanya. That's the same thing when it comes to our soul. Hashem created something opposite the Kedusha that we've been talking about. He created a counterbalance to it. Ki kemosha nefesh ha'elokis kelula me'eser sfiros kedoshos. Just like the holy soul, our Nefesh Elokis. What were the parts of our Nefesh Elokis? So we said it has 10 parts, and then it has 3 clothings that it could wear: thought, speech, and action. So it had 10 parts, that's like the 10 spheros, and then it had 3 clothing. Just like the Nefesh Elokis is made up of these things. Kach ha-nefesh de-sitra achra. So too is the soul, I'm going to be specific in how I translate this, the soul of the other side. The soul of the other side. So he doesn't call it the Nefesh HaBahamis right here. He called it that earlier. Here he calls it the nefesh de-sitra achra, the soul of the other side. That also comes from klipos noga. That comes from a klipa. We're going to talk about what a klipa is, but on a simple level, a klipa is a shell or a mask or a covering. Hamilubeshes bedam ha'adam. And that soul is inside of the blood of a person. It's what keeps a person alive. That's what is our life force. That soul also is kelula me'eser kisrin dimisabusa. It also has 10 parts. But you know what they are? He borrows some words from the Zohar HaKadosh, and he says those are called 10 crowns of impurity. Kisrin, like keser. 10 crowns of impurity. Shehein, What are the 10 crowns of impurity that our animal soul has? Those are Sheva Midos Ro, 7 bad or evil or negative emotional powers. Habos Me'arba Yesodos Ro Imanal, which, like we talked about a lot earlier, you could get it all down to 4. There's 4 foundational ingredients in the world. Okay. Those are the 7, Viseichel, and the Seichel, Hamolidan, and the Seichel, Hanechalak L'Shalosh, which is split into 3, Shein Chachma, Bina Das, Mikar Hamidos, which is the source of our emotions. Okay, so let's stop there. Well, what he said so far is that just like our godly soul is made up of, we said, 3 at the top is Seichel, Chachma, Bina, Das. That's the Seichel of your Nefesh Elokis. And then you also have the Midos of your Nefesh Elokis. Those are the emotions. The Nefesh HaBahamis is also made up of those 10 things. Seichel, 3 at the top, 7 Midos. It also has that. But here he called it Kisrin de Misabusa, the 7 crowns of impurity. What's a crown? Is the crown the person themselves?
Hashem.
Is a crown the king himself? Is the king himself the crown? No. The king. Where is the crown, right? The crown is like a little bit outside the king. It's very close to the king. It's right by his head, right? But the crown is not the king. King is the king. So when the Baal Tanya calls these things, these the thinking and the emotions of the Nefesh HaBahamis, he calls them, they're like crowns. Why are they like crowns? Because that's not the real you. When you're having a negative emotion or negative seichel, negative thought process, that's not. What's the real you? The real you is the Nefesh Elokis. That's the part that's connected to Hashem always. That's the real you. You just, Hashem had to create a balance. So he gave you another part that you have to walk around with that could have, we'll see what it could have, but it could have definitely negative thoughts, and it could definitely get involved in having negative emotions and connections to things. That's the Nefesh HaBahamis, but they're crowns. Okay, that's a small point. So he says, there's going to be a major difference. I want to point it out here. There's going to be a major difference in the way that our godly soul functions and in the way that Nefesh HaBahamis functions. The godly soul hardly wants to exist. What does it want? What does it want more of in the world? Does it want more of itself in the world?
More of like you?
It doesn't even care about anything. The only thing it wants is more Hashem in the world. It wants more God in the world. So it always wants to express itself. Now, how does the Nefesh Elokis, how does it express itself? We talked about it. It could think Torah, it could speak Torah, it could speak kind words, it could do mitzvahs. That's how it expresses itself. In those expressions, when it's being itself, it's bringing more Hashem into the world. That's what the Nefesh Elokis wants. And the Nefesh Elokis, this godly soul, doesn't want that for its own purpose. It wants it because it wants to almost disappear into Hashem. So it wants Hashem all around, right? It's not selfish. It's selfless. Your Nefesh Elokis is selfless. It just wants to be part of Hashem. That's what it wants. Not for its own good, because that's what's better for the world. Your Nefesh HaBahamis is the exact opposite. Your Nefesh HaBahamis, it comes from klipa. What's a klipa? We said it's like a shell. You know what's interesting about a shell is that a shell could make you think, if let's say you have a really thick shell, it could make you see, when you look at a nut that has a shell, what do you see? Do you see the actual thing? You don't see the nut. Shell. You just see the shell. The Nefesh HaBahamis comes from that world of shells. It's like a shell. What is it hiding? What's the Nefesh HaBahamis hiding? Shell. It's hiding Hashem. Yeah.
So if you have a good steak, your steak, let's just say your food you like to eat,
Yeah.
The guy's on a carnival diet. Nobody eats meat in his life.
Okay.
Is that the fact that he makes a blessing on this meat? And now he took it from a klipa to a mitzvah, or?
So we're going to talk about, in the next parak, we're actually going to talk about the movement of things and where things fit when we get practical. Right now, we're staying philosophical, just trying to understand, but that's a gewaldic question because he mamish has to talk about that. So how do things move around, right? Something could be parv, and then you can make inflations, right? Something could be just regular. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about that even in this parak. So I just want to point out that the nefesh elokis hardly wants to exist. It wants to just be one with Hashem. The Nefesh HaBahamis, you know what it wants? It wants, its program is hide Hashem as much as you can. Hide him away. Cover him over. How do you cover over Hashem? Puff yourself up. When you become bigger, Hashem all of a sudden has to go to the background. That's the way it looks. That's the way it appears. Hashem's obviously not going anywhere. Hashem's everywhere. But when you puff yourself up, then it covers over Hashem. That's the famous Kutzker. The Kutzker Rebbe asked the Talmidim, he said, where is Hashem? So they said, what do you mean? Hashem's everywhere. He said, no, you're wrong. Hashem is wherever you let him in. When we make room, when we minimize our own importance, then Hashem fills that space. When we think of ourselves as very important, there's no room even in our brain to have Hashem. And that's a Gemara. Chazal already said in the Gemara. Hashem says, the Gemara in Sota says, Hashem says, I'm not able to live in the same place as a Baal Gaiva. Hashem
said, if she still stayed with a man, she couldn't even tell her husband.
Yeah.
So she cheated.
Yeah.
So we raised the whole Torah.
Correct. Correct. Hashem is the ultimate so, trying to make Shalom Bayis.
So it's not Shalom Bayis. So maybe when you have a good Shalom Bayis, you can bring Hashem's name. Maybe what you're saying.
It says, Ish v'isha, right? Ish v'isha, zacha shechina b'neihem. If it's a good marriage, correct, then Hashem is there with them. Why are we talking about that? Because we said the word Sota. Very good. It's in Masechah Sota. That's what the Gemara is about, Gaivar. But there it says, Hashem says, I can't exist in the same place as a Baal Gaiva. Why? Because Gaiva pushes Hashem out of the picture. So you know who's the biggest Baal Gaiva? In this equation, when we're talking about the Nefesh HaLokis and the Nefesh HaBahamis, the Nefesh HaBahamis is a big Baal Gaiva. It wants to buff itself up. It wants to take over. It wants to conquer. That's what it wants. And it wants it all for itself, right? Now, how does it know what to want? How does the Nefesh HaBahamis, does it get its program to know what to want? This is philosophy, Jewish philosophy, well, Hasidic philosophy 101. Where does it get, how does it know what to want, right? Piece of cake. You like chocolate cake? Yeah, or H-E-B, good vanilla cake? It's the best cake ever. H-E-B, parv cake, great cake. Piece of cake, delicious, right? Why am I drawn to that piece of cake? Am I thinking that about my connection that maybe my life will become better if I have that cake and it tastes so good and all that? Is that really where my drawing myself to the piece of cake is? No, right? It's much more in your emotions and your feelings and it's not a brain decision. It's much more of like a heart decision, right? The way that our relationship is with that piece of cake is like the way that the Nefesh HaBahamis makes all its decisions. It doesn't let its brain think deeply about the benefits of eating that piece of cake right now, and then it tells it, okay, brain check off, yes, it's a good idea, and now it tells your body to eat it, right? Your heart to want it, to desire.
Desire things, but like you go to a strip club or a bar, something goodish, whatever goodish to somebody is.
Yeah, let's just talk about chocolate cake. Just keep it at chocolate cake.
But chocolate cake is not a desire. Football game,
yeah, but that's not happening here. That's happening here. Of course, there's an initial thought that like, okay, obviously I know chocolate cake tastes good. So that like, I yeah, okay, that. But it's a very basic thought. The real the real attachment that you're creating is in your heart, is in the midos, is in your emotions.
You said another,
that's where taiva. Think about taiva. Think about time.
The seats and the,
yeah.
With the sales.
Correct.
So maybe it's the time. It's not just the time. It's something that the gates are done. He inside me. Say, you know, I want to watch one YouTube video. What is he doing? Deluding? I'm going to watch 10, 100, and it takes me hours and hours.
So one sec. You're right. But that's exactly what I'm saying. You're not arguing. You're just backing me up. That's all an emotional decision. It's not a decision in your brain. If you think your seichel, if you use your seichel, you'd say, is there a benefit for me going deep into conspiracy theories on YouTube tonight? And you'd say, no, I have to wake up early tomorrow. Okay, then I'm not going to do it, right? That's a decision happening up here. A decision happening here, all taiva is the same way. A decision happening here in your heart with the midos, with the emotions, is because I have an emotional connection or a drive or a need that I'm looking to fill, right? Okay, many different reasons, many different emotions. The way the Nefesh HaBahamis makes, what's running the show for the Nefesh HaBahamis? The emotions, not the brain. And when we describe the Nefesh Elokis, what was running the show for the Nefesh Elokis? How do you create a feeling of love for Hashem? Can you just be drawn, I love Hashem? So the Baal Tanya said no. The Baal Tanya said you got to think about it first. You got to think deeply about how great Hashem is and how big Hashem is. I don't know if you were there for that shir. How big Hashem is and how great Hashem is and how he fills the whole world and how he surrounds the whole world and how incredible he is. And when you think about it deeply, it then creates a connection, right? That's the Nefesh Elokis. The Nefesh Elokis, that's in Chabad, they say these words. The Moach is Sholeit al Alev. The brain is in control of the heart, right? There's an amazing story about a chassid who was sent as a spy into the French army, into the French army to help Napoleon win the war back in the day in Russia, France, whatever it was, right? I don't know what year it was. And he was a spy, and all of a sudden, Napoleon himself came into the room, and he looked around, and he realized that he was an imposter. And he came over to him, and he got in his face, and he said, I know that you are a spy. And he put his hand on the man's heart, and you can imagine, all the generals are in the room, and Napoleon himself, who was the general of all the generals, walks into the room and accuses you of being a spy. You're about to be found out. You can imagine how scared he was. And Napoleon, the way he was going to test to see, because the guy's face just stayed straight, this chassid, and he put his hand on his heart, and he was expecting that what happens when we get scared, our heart starts beating, right? And it was completely calm and completely still. And the man looked at him in the face. Napoleon said, oh, must be wrong. And he let him go. And they asked him afterwards, "What? How did you survive? I mean, how did you do that?" And he said, "The Baal Tanya tells us that the moach has to be sholeit on the lev. The brain has to rule over the heart. So my brain said, you heart are not allowed to beat faster right now.'" And he was so in control of his heart, so to speak, right? But really, that's the Nefesh Elokis. The Nefesh HaBahamis is, flip the script. The Nefesh HaBahamis, like salespeople, that was our mashal. Salespeople, when they try to sell you something, they try to get you emotionally connected to it first. Then you worry about if it makes sense, if you can afford it, if you should do it today, if you should do it tomorrow. Then you worry about all the brain stuff. But the first thing they want is you create the emotional. If they can create that emotional connection to it, oh boy, they basically made the sale, right? They basically made the sale. And that's the Nefesh HaBahamis, that's how he works. And now he's going to say that. Ki hamidos hein lefi erech haseichel, because our emotions and emotional connection to things is in accordance with our level of seichel. And think about it. Ki at katan choshek v'ohev dvarim ketanim pechusei ha'erech. A small child, what does he want? What does he desire? What does he love? Small things, right? You see little kids, they don't have big hasagas. They need to make $1 million, right? Little kids, they want a little lollipop, right? Why? Because the brain, lefisha sichlo katan v'katzer lahasig dvarim yakarim yosherman. Because their brains are not thinking big ideas, and therefore their emotions are not connected to anything big. V'chein miskais u'miskatzif b'dvarim ketanim. Look at little kids, right? The idea of a little kid, says the Baal Tanya, is that they get upset and they get frustrated from small things, right? V'chein b'hispiros v'shar midos. And also when it comes to covet and honor, a little kid, right? A little kid is not trying to be, you know, trying to push themselves into leadership positions where they shouldn't be, or trying to do like big manipulative moves. Little kids are not. Why? Because their brain is small. Your brain is small. Your brain is young. Your brain is immature. So you want immature things. As you grow up, we hope, what's the Baal Tanya saying? As you grow up, obviously, we hope that your brain matures. Now you're on the negative side. So too does your emotional connection to things mature, to maybe things that you shouldn't be involved in. The Eser Bechinos Elu HaTemeos Kisha Adam Mechashev Behem O Medaber O Ose. And when a person uses their the clothing to think, speak, or act in something tame. So you know what happens? Hare machshavto shebemocho v'diburo shebepiv v'koach ha'maisav shebiyado v'sharei varim. Now he's using his entire body, or his brain, or his words, or his body actions. He's using it, all of his body. You know what they're called? It becomes nikroim. We could call them levushe misabo leeser bechinos elo hatmeos shemislabshos bahem bishas maiso dibro machshava. They now become clothing for these tame things. This nefesh habahamis is giving us life, right? And now you go take your hand, and with your hand, you punch someone. You do an aveir, right? You punch someone. So now your hand is like a, it's being, it is, I would say, we'll say it like this, how he says it here. He says, now that your body part is dressed, these negative 10 negative forces are now dressed in your body. They're wearing your body, right? Your body is the clothing. Your action is the clothing. So now they're completely connected to your body, and now your body's acting out this tumah. So Zakta Baal Tanya, this is very interesting. It's very interesting what he just said. What do I want to point out? How are we going to say this? Okay, let's say it like this. Let's say how the Baal Tanya says it. Look what he says next line. The hein hein, and these are kol hamaisim asher nasim tachas hashemesh. This is all the actions that are done under the sky. Asher kol hevel urus ruach, which, like it says in Koheles, they're all nothingness and they're all evil. Ukamasha kasav bazar b'shalach. Shehein taviru derucha, and like the Zohar uses words, and he says they're destructive to the spirit. The Baal Tanya just said, yeah, listen to this. V'chein, and so too, and then we'll explain what he's saying. Kol hadiburim v'kol hamachshavos, any action, or any thought, or any words, asher lo lahashem hema uleretzono laavodaso. Any thought that is not directed towards Hashem or to the Avodas Hashem is connected to this nefesh and connected to the other side. That's a major thing that the Baal Tanya just said. The Baal Tanya just said that there's, normally we would think that there's like things that we're allowed to do. Sorry, there's mitzvahs, commandments. There's things that are usher to do. Okay, they got to stay away from. And then there's just things that we're allowed to do. There's like a third category of things that we're allowed to do.
My grandfather last week, I had this, looked like there's a lot of people practice a lot of trying, right? We were in this conversation, me and Aaron. Do you try to daven? Do you try to learn? Some days you did didn't try, you didn't daven. But you might have said brachos. That's so much. So what are you allowed to do? What you're not allowed to do is the machshava, right? The klipa of machshava versus what you try to do is the gates of Torah.
Trying to do is connected to, that's connected to Kedusha. That's Kedusha. Trying to do is connected to Kedusha. But you have mitzvahs, you have aveiros, you have dvarim that are mutter, you have dvarim that are aser, and then we kind of think like there's everything else, right? Then there's everything else. Baal Tanya just said no. There's only two categories. There's things that are part of your avodas Hashem, bringing you closer to Hashem, and there's things that are not. And those things are from what we're calling the other side, the sitra achra. Now that's a big statement. That means that how would you categorize basketball? Is it bringing you closer to Hashem, or is it from the other side?
I mean, it could be to bring you closer to Hashem, because like, let's say you play basketball and it makes you in a better mood or something.
Good.
Like, let's say you have a basketball game and you win.
Yes.
A better mood and you want to do better stuff. Like,
yes.
Like daven or whatever.
Beautiful.
But if you lose, then you'll be in a bad mood, and like.
Good. So if you lose and you're in a bad mood from basketball, then in the when you look back on it, was the basketball bringing you closer to Hashem? No.
Not the basketball, but the outcome. Thing.
The outcome was not bringing you closer to Hashem. The whole thing, right? But what about if basketball is an opportunity to work, like Louis was saying, if you're trying, basketball is an opportunity to work on your midos. Then basketball is part of your avodas Hashem. No? That all of a sudden, basketball becomes part of your avodas Hashem.
Yeah, I mean, let's say you play a game with your friends or in competition, Shiva or something, versus recess or whatever, then that basketball game, yeah, it goes back to learning. It could be.
Part of your avodas Hashem. But there's only two sides. There's a side of Kedusha, and there's the Sitra Achra. That's why it's called the Sitra Achra. He's about to say the Sitra Achra means the other side. The other side. There's only two options. There's Kedusha and there's not Kedusha. I'll say it a different way. There's only two options. In your life, you're either at that moment revealing Hashem into the world, or you're hiding Hashem into the world, from the world, right? You're either a vessel, a kli, to reveal more Hashem to the world, or you're klipa, or you're a shell, hiding, your actions, right, are either revealing Hashem or hiding Hashem in your mind, inside of your head. If your mindset is positive and elevated and connected to Hashem, so now my whole brain is a kli for more Hashem. That's what's filling my brain. If my brain is full of schmutz and garbage, okay, so now my brain, there's no room for Hashem in there. So my brain becomes a thing that's klipa. It's hiding Hashem. That's what Baal Tanya is saying, is that it's so easy to decide on something, on any action, on anything. Just look at it. Is it bringing more Hashem into the world, or is it not bringing more Hashem into the world? We could always ask ourselves about our own actions. Am I bringing more Hashem into the world, or am I not? I'm either doing that, or I'm hiding Hashem. It's one or the other. Yeah? And that's what he says. Shezehu pirish lashon sitra achra. That's what it means. The sitra achra means the other side. Pirish, in other words, tzad acher she'eno tzad ha-kedusha. It's the other side that's not kedusha. V'tzad ha-kedusha eino ela hashra v'hamshacha mekdusha so shalak kadosh baruch hu. So the side of kedusha means that you're drawing Hashem down into the world. Ve'ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Shora, and Hashem could only exist on Ella, or he could only be perceived to exist on a Dover Shebatal Etzlo Yisbarach, on something that could become buttle to him, something that could become nullified to him. Meaning, this is what we were saying before, if you make the room, Hashem will be there. If you fill up the room, now there's no room for Hashem. Hashem can only hang out with people that make room for him. Yeah? Whether you make room for him bepoel mamish, bein bepoel mamish kimalachim elyonim, whether you actively make room for him like a malach does. Does the malach think that they're super important, even though they have an important mission? Do they think that they themselves are super important? A malach, an angel. Do they think they're super important? No, they know. It's clear to them, right? It's clear. Hashem runs the world. Hashem is everything. I'm on a mission. Okay, I have a mission, but I'm not super important in that way that I need to think, what's my next car that I'm going to buy, right? Or how am I going to feed my belly or other taivas? That's not one. So either a person makes room for Hashem like a malach does, in that they're just naturally batal because they, they're actively mevatal themselves, or they make room for Hashem, bein bekoach, or whether it's just bekoach, means it's just in potential that you're able to make room for Hashem, kechol ish Yisrael lamata, like every person in Klal Yisrael, that every person in Klal Yisrael has the power to become nullified to Hashem and to make room for Hashem. And we know this because we have within ourselves the power of Mesiras Nafsho al Kedushas Hashem. People would give up their lives for Hashem. Now, if you're the most important thing, are you giving up your life for Hashem? If you're the most important, you're not going to give up your life for Hashem. Says the Baal Tanya, inside of your neshama, on the good side, inside of your neshama, your nefesh elokis, inside of that neshama, inside of that soul, is a program that says, push comes to shove, if you need to give up your life, your very life for Hashem, do it. Our neshama tells us that. And even if we haven't ever heard our neshama say it, or it's not expressed outwardly in our lives, that is what is the program of our neshama. And therefore, the point that the Baal Tanya was making, the Alter Rebbe was making over here, is that there's two sides. It's Kedusha and the Sitra Achra. That's the only two sides. And the only way to bring Kedusha in is to make room for Hashem. And what does the Nefesh HaBahamis want? He doesn't want to make room for Hashem. The Nefesh HaBahamis, it has an emotional connection to this world, and it comes from the world of Klipa. It comes from a shell, and it always acts like a shell. It's always trying to act like a shell. That's its natural state. It's always trying to act like a shell. Think about animals. The Nefesh HaBahamis, that's what it's called, right? It's almost like an animal. An animal is always thinking about itself. It can be trained. I know everyone always asks, but dogs, they can take care of their owners. It could be trained to do certain actions, but why does the dog take care of his owner? Because it's the moral thing to do? No. The dog takes care of his owner because he gives him a treat. And he knows that's who gives him the bone, yeah. Right? The dog takes care of his owner. That's the whole idea. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. What's that? Whose value system is that? That's a dog's. That's an animal's. Very good. That's an animal's value system. Is I could get something from that guy. He feeds me, so I'm not going to bite him. Not because it's the wrong thing to do, right? So the dog is always, 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 even when he's thinking about someone else, he's always thinking about himself. The only being, creature, creation that could do something completely 100% altruistically, could do something 100% for the other person or for Hashem, is a human being. And the only reason why we could do that is because we have this nefesh elokis. Because we have this thing called a nefesh elokis. We have a godly soul. But the nefesh habahamis, always thinking about itself. And when you're always thinking about yourself, there's hardly any room for it to think about Hashem. Right? Let's just talk about space constraints in your brain. You can't think about everything all day long. So if you're always thinking about yourself, when's the time to think about Hashem? Right? That's nefesh habahamis's formation. That's what he's made of. And we're going to talk more about this idea further in the parak. The next idea that the Baal Tanya is going to talk about really is okay, you know what? The next one is a very long sentence, so we're going to stop over here, I think. I'm going to stop over here. No. One second. Let's do one more half a line. Ulachein amru chazal, and therefore chazal tell us, sha'afilu echad sheyoshev osek b'torah, that even if one person is sitting by themselves learning Torah, shechina shiruya, the shechina, the divine presence, is there, right? Why? Even one person learning Torah, because when you're learning Torah, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I hope. Right? And the right way of learning Torah is to be thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to be thinking about the Torah that Hashem gave you, and to be thinking in the Sugya, in the Torah. Right? So the Shechina comes there because you made room for him. B'chol be'asara, and if you have 10 people, Shechinta Sharya Lo'olam, then you always have the Shechina when you have 10 people. Maybe even not learning Torah, just 10 Yidin sitting around, you have the Shechina there. To be very careful about it, but you have the Shechina there. That's a beautiful thing, right? That's when we have the idea of bittul, the idea of getting rid of our ego, of nullifying ourselves to Hashem. Now there's room for Hashem. But on the klipa side, ooh, it's not bittul at all. And that's what we're going to talk about next time, is how does this negative stuff exist? We know Hashem fills up the whole world. So how is there any room for things that are disconnected from Hashem, right? How is there any world for a soul? How is there any room for a soul that's ignoring Hashem or hiding Hashem? I mean, Hashem is keeping everything going. So where do these things?
Where's the bittul? You're going to help somebody, right?
Yeah.
This is where I want to carry on. The bittul is that I bottled myself to go help this person or this thing for Hashem's name. I bottled myself, I went and gave tzedakah.
Yes.
I got something for somebody.
That's it. One example, tzedakah. Good example.
I did for.
I took money from my pocket that I could have spent on myself, and I gave it to someone else that they could spend it on themselves. What am I expressing in that action? That I know I'm not the most important thing in the whole world. And in this moment, this person needs the money, right? And I'm doing it ultimately because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, be a giving person and give tzedakah. So I'm also being mevata myself to Hashem's will. My animal desire is to amass as much wealth as I can. Tzedakah flies in the face of that idea, right? My animal desire, when I'm the center of the universe, I need more money to buy more stuff and get more pleasure, right? Not in a dirty way, but just that's, I want to exist the most living that I can do.
My question is not from the money of giving something, of doing for someone, but I want to buy food, right?
Yes.
I have to spend money on food. Go give it to someone. Something in my life, something I love to do. If I might have a meal, maybe I could have one meal, maybe I get a second meal.
Beautiful.
How do you give it? When you go and do that thing, you told yourself that's my question.
That's a very positive thing. You're bringing more Hashem into the world, right? Right?
Yeah.
Bring more Hashem into the world?
Yeah.
Give out. That's what we need to do.
Sure.
Yasher Koach. You too.